Hydro-Québec claims that this is a green project. In other words, it's renewable energy. Well, you couldn't dam, if the Romaine River were in the United States, you couldn't do this project. The EPA forbids it. So, and one could ask if PSNH is involved, if they're considering renewable energy, why aren't they replacing their coal plant at Bow? That's 438 megawatts. That's way under what this is producing.
Right now we're putting tons of pollutants, no matter what you burn, into the air. I mean, we can't let this continue. We've got to do something. We've got to do it now.
What I liked about the Northern Pass project is
it's hydroelectric energy. Water is water. You always can have water flowing. Hydro energy, I think, is one of the cleanest energy there is. There's no greenhouse gases, no global warming to worry about.
It's all about sending power from a supposedly green project, which is not green, down to a hungry market, which is Hartford and Boston. What is there green about flooding millions of trees, which sequestered carbon and gave off oxygen? Come on. And the media have just not touched this issue. There's nothing green about flooding millions of trees to produce hydropower. You know, why is this not being questioned? And, you know, I'm a media guy. I love media. But why is this not being addressed? I just don't get it.
Well, that last voice, John Harrigan, who raising the questions back in October that should be raised today whenever the discussion about Northern Pass and the claims about having clean energy, as we heard from Jack, who we don't know Jack's last name, but Jack in the Northern Pass ad, a little clip from him saying about how there's no greenhouse gas emissions associated with this hydro project. And of course, before that was State Representative Larry Rappaport of Colebrook saying you couldn't build that kind of project in this country today. So that helps to set the stage for our conversation right now with Christoph Courchain from the Conservation Law Foundation. He's a staff attorney who's been on the show before, and pleasure to welcome you back to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Brian.
All righty. Well, a couple of things to talk with. First is this movie that's coming up this week, debuting in New Hampshire. It hasn't debuted. It's debuted elsewhere, but I mean, it's going to be making its New Hampshire appearance this week, Seeking the Current, which takes a look into this, and Conservation Law Foundation is sponsoring their appearances here.
Yeah, we're thrilled about this this movie. This Seeking the Current movie has a theme about Hydro-Québec and really exploring the impacts of power that's generated north of the border. And it's, you know, it's a 90-minute movie. It's very accessible. It gives a lot of facts. And follows these filmmakers as they canoe down a river that has since been completely destroyed by Hydro-Québec. Mm. It's currently under construction for an $8 billion hydropower project. And so as they canoe down the river, they kind of ask the questions about Hydro-Québec and examines history. And I think it's really helpful background for thinking about whether we should import power from Hydro-Québec into the United States at greater levels than we currently do.
Right, because as we look at this, I've posted the trailer on my website at briantilton.com on the Northern Pass page, and looking into the filmmaker's journey, they started this back in 2008, actually, and it's how much has changed. You can see what was once there, and then just imagine all that being flooded, you know, millions of acres of land flooded.
It's a huge project of a scale that I think is really hard to get your mind around when you think about energy projects. A related project, which is a little in a different part of Québec, which was also under construction. They're doing a building boom up there right now as part of their Hydro-Québec strategic plan to step up exports to the northeast. They've decided they need to build more facilities. And so this Romaine project, which is the subject of the movie, is one. Another one is this East Main project, which is really where they've done a lot of research on the greenhouse gas emissions. This reservoir is just one project. It's about 500 megawatts, which is a little bit larger than the power plant in Bow. And the reservoir, if you look at it on on, you know, from space covers an area from Concord to Manchester. That's
okay.
That's 500 megawatts. That's just one, you know, imagine driving from Concord to Manchester and it's all flooded. And that's what the scale of this is. I think that's very important for people to realize as we talk about this issue. It's just not a resource that, you know, just comes magically out of Canada without any impacts up there.
Right. And I think that's where it's important to look past the Northern Pass marketing materials that they put out, because whenever they want to talk about, the hydropower, they always show this river in Franklin, you know, under the upside down bridge. It's not that kind of water power that they're getting this power from. It is literally damming up a free flowing river and then just creating this big reservoir behind it, rerouting rivers, and that disrupts the natural flow down to wherever, you know, the rivers flow out to.
No, it's a huge industrial development, and it has a range of environmental impacts that I think people haven't really internalized. It's important to recognize that all energy sources have trade-offs, of course. But hydropower is, you know, there are different types of it, and there are different impacts associated with those different types of it. And it's too easy just to say, well, it's clean, it's green, it's water, and it's renewable, and it's always going to be there. It's much more complicated than that, and that's really why CLF is sponsoring these showings around the state, along with a number of partner organizations, really to shine the light on these issues and to ask people to think critically about this. I mean, this is a big decision we're looking at, to, you know, whether to import more of this into the region, whether to build huge transmission lines to accomplish that task, which have all the impacts of large transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, all these questions surround this project, and it's really important that they get asked, so that it is not just a fait accompli and it just goes through, on the assumption that everything's terrific and great. That's not an honest and credible way of looking at such a big energy proposal, which is really, as we've discussed before, you know, it's about the profits for the energy companies proposing it. So it's really not their job necessarily, and it's not, I mean, it should be, but it's not their job to be the public's watchdog on their proposal, which is going to make them huge amounts of money.
We are the watchdogs. Christophe Courchain joining us from the Conservation Law Foundation. And this movie, and I'll start sharing, the times and places for this movie, because it's going to be throughout our listening area and even beyond, all around New Hampshire. But yeah, the questions that need to be asked about these large-scale hydro projects, it actually came up in the legislature last February when there was an attempt to change the renewable portfolio standards to allow for these large-scale hydro projects, which the EPA probably would never permit in this country. So these are questions that were starting to be asked a year ago, and boy, were the members of the House Science, Technology, and Energy Committee really shocked when hundreds of people showed up to show their concerns and start questioning this. But yet, ever since then, the questions about these types of impacts have kind of withered away. But, you know, this movie looks like seeks to bring that back into the public arena.
No, I think we need to have this discussion. I think it was important. The eminent domain discussion took up a lot of time and effort, and a lot of people worked very hard on that, and it really was an important issue. But this project is so huge, so complex, and it presents such a range of issues, you know, from the transmission lines to the energy system issues to the environmental issues. It's such a rich topic with so many related issues. I do think that this question of whether we should import this power, the environmental issues of the source of the power, they're fundamental to that. I mean, one thing that PSNH President Gary Long said at the outset of this to the Concord Monitor was that if there wasn't a policy about, you know, green power, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, that was the message. You know, and if that's really the reason for this project, if it's about making our power system greener and more sustainable and, you know, the bringing it into the 21st century, making it more renewable, then we need to really ask the hard questions of whether this project really gets us there. And, you know, if it doesn't, could it be changed to get us there, to get us there? But if it's not changed and it doesn't get us there, then, why?
Right, exactly. And what would be the other alternatives? Because if you're going to look at hydropower, and people in general, I don't think, are opposed to the concept of hydropower, because most people think that you're just setting up a dam along a river that's already flowing. You're not really interrupting the flow of that river so much. You're just capturing the power of that water going through. And we do have a number of those smaller scale hydro projects in this state. You know, nobody complains about it. It seems everything, you know, hunky dory. But, you know, we're talking about something that's just so big that it goes beyond most people's ability to comprehend the size of it.
No, I think that's right. There are different types of projects, and it's really important when you're considering, you know, facilitating the development of lots more of this type of power. You know, what are the impacts? And to CLF and to a number of our peer groups and peer organizations and a lot of the people who are asking great questions about this project, what happens in Canada is important. It is relevant to our decision in New Hampshire. It's if what we're doing, you know, facilitates the construction of new reservoirs, then we're partially responsible for those for those reservoirs.
I gotcha.
And those being built. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, this issue of greenhouse gas.
Well, I do want to talk about it, and we'll do that in the next segment. But first, I do have a caller on the line at 1-866-823-1077, where you can join the conversation. John from Manchester, you're on Bulldog Live, along with Christoph Corshane from the Conservation Law Foundation.
Hey, Bulldog. I just stopped by the pharmacy to pick up your prescription of Valium so you can calm down. I mean, you're breaking up some great topics, and I remember, I know John Harrigan mentioned it, how many thousands of acres of land would be flooded, and he brought up an important point. He's like, okay, so now you're going to flood all these fields, you're going to flood the trees, you're going to flood, so it's like, you know, basically you're going to take plants and other things that help scrub the air that we breathe. I mean, granted, it's up in Canada, but, you know, you could almost say it's like what they were doing in South America when they were burning down the rainforest for more fields to plant. I mean, look how we're fighting over the XL pipeline project, you know, and some of the EPA regulations. Could you imagine if they tried to flood like 1,000 acres somewhere in the lower 48 to make this reservoir, what would happen? It'd probably be 30 years before they even got approval for it.
Well, I think you do touch on one good point, John, and that is, you want to take a look at the tropical rainforest and the destruction of those, what kind of an impact that has on a much larger scale on the climate. We're looking at this in Canada, too. You're taking out millions of acres of forest. What are we talking about? The size of the state of New Hampshire minimum, Christoph?
If you add it all up over the past 50 years, which has been really where, you know, Hydro-Québec has developed its northern tier and lots of areas, absolutely, millions of acres, probably the size of the state of New Hampshire. We'll have some visuals at this webinar we're holding later this week that will really help dramatize that. But you're right, it's a huge area, and it's a great point. The Canadian forests have been called the lungs of the planet. They are, you know, it's a huge land area which is undeveloped. To the Canadians, you know, to the Quebec government's credit, one of their goals is to protect a huge area, huge part of their northern tier from development, and a lot of people have cheered that as a great decision. But the flip side of that is that, you know, there's a lot of land up there that they are going to develop that's not developed right now. And that's a huge question that if we're going to be facilitating that, we better be going into it with both eyes open.
Well, there you go. John, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah. Yeah, and one other thing, quick, like you were saying about, you know, we were talking about the hydro plants. My wife's originally from Littleton, New Hampshire, and you have the Moore Dam. And, of course, I don't know how long ago TransCanada bought that. So, I mean, here we are, we're talking about this, you know, this Northern Pass. New Hampshire, Northern New England will not benefit from it except for these 135 to 85-foot towers, but it's all going to southern, you know, it's going to the southern New England. And, you know, and here we are, we're talking about power that, I mean, you look at, we got what, one power plant, I think one coal-fired plant, maybe two in all of northern New England, one being in Bow, New Hampshire, that we only use maybe what, maybe one half of the power coming from that one plant. And, you know, so, you know, it's almost like I want to say to these people, nothing against the people in southern New England, but, hey, you need the power, you generate it down there. You know, we don't, I'm not against, you know, power. And
yeah,
stuff.
Don't wreck our forests and our economy for your own needs. Exactly.
No, I mean, that's what it is. We're getting trampled by regulations from the government. We got private industry. I know. I understand it's a private investment. You know the state of New Hampshire isn't going to be, you know, isn't on the hook for say $200 million because it's coming through New Hampshire. But it's a case of if we need it, fine. But the thing is like I said, that former lieutenant
we're exporting more power than we produce currently. Yes.
Well, not only that, but the former lieutenant governor of Vermont stated in an editorial. Vermont has the right-of-ways in place. But like you said, PSNH and Northeast Utilities will not benefit because it's coming from Vermont. Well, then, fine. Let it go through Vermont and end the discussion once and for all.
That's right. Well, John, thank you very
much.
All right. Yeah. Good points. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. And, of course, too, don't forget, towers grow babies. And anybody who has been paying attention for any period of time on this program knows that the reason why Franklin, New Hampshire has been chosen as the site for the converter station from the DC to the AC power that would run it over to Deerfield to plug into the grid, the reason why Franklin was chosen is so that they can run power lines from the Franklin station over to Vermont. That concept is already on paper, and it's already on file with the Public Utilities Commission. And guess where that goes through, folks? Wilmot, Andover, New London, Sunapee, Springfield, Croydon, Newport, Claremont, right on over that way so that they can feed into southern Vermont so they can join whatever grid is down there. So if they want the power, then they can certainly look at it. Don't run through my neighborhood to do it. Christophe Courchain, I'm going to keep you on for another segment here so we can talk about that webinar. We can talk about the greenhouse gas impacts of the large-scale hydro project. And, you know, where people can go see this movie, too, Seeking the Current. So lots to get to yet.
Sounds
we're
terrific.
Just getting begun. We're just getting started. Bulldog Live continues here at 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.